today. I wish I could just bring you forward. I'm booming. Okay. Wow. It's always a privilege to be sharing the Word of God. And my wife is here today, so she doesn't get to come often, but she's here with us today. And my mother-in-law is here, so she trusts me to marry her daughter. Wow. Anyway, it's interesting this morning as I was just refreshing my mind about what God wants me to bring this morning. I've titled the message this morning called Hope Rising. And when we look at what's happening in the UK at the moment and actually what's happening across the world, hope doesn't feel like it's rising. But this morning I have good news for you that hope is rising. And if we look to Jesus and don't look to our circumstances, then we will see hope rise. Hope rises not just on the outside, but it has to rise from the inside. Hope rising starts is an internal thing that happens to you as an individual. And we're going to look at a few scriptures this morning that's going to kind of help us. But before that, I have a sense of the Spirit leading me to do one or two things. So I'm just going to just follow that. So if we could have in the background, just very faintly, that song, What a Beautiful Name. I'm just going to pray and prophesy over one or two people, if that's okay. So I might have to step down from where I am. So it's always interesting when you get distracted this way. It's a good way. You can bring it lower. So I've never met you before, but is this your first time here? First time here for the Netherlands. Okay, is it okay if I just say some words from God over you? Yeah, yeah. Okay, I just saw you this morning. I felt God would say to you that you've been through choppy waters, like you've been through some very, very difficult times. Like you've been up and you've been down, and it's been very difficult for you. And sometimes you almost want to give up, not give up on life, but just give up generally, like almost like I don't know which way to travel anymore. And God says this morning that I brought you here to show you the pathway to travel. The pathway to travel is the pathway of hope. And that you are not in this country by accident or by mistake, but actually he has directed your path to be here. And he wants to rekindle the dreams that you had inside of your heart. You know, the things you wanted to do for him that seemed like they're so far away that you can't do them. He's saying, I want to rekindle those inside of you so that you would have hope again. Does that make sense? Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen, amen. So God brought you here this morning. Amen. And I pray that, you know, that you would just have a sense of his purpose and his plan this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I also, do you have any pains in your body right now? That's what I felt in the spirit. So let me just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now for your healing hand to be upon your daughter right now. This shoulder, the Bible says that you sent your word and it healed them of all their diseases. That's the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask for your healing power to flow now and bring healing and wholeness to this shoulder right now. In the name of Jesus. That's it, God. Amen. How does it feel? Check it out. Yeah? Yeah. What couldn't you do?
I think
it's good. Yeah, it's good. Is it good or you think
yes.
It's good?
No, it is good.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand. Amen. Amen. Just do one more. Is this your first time here?
Third time.
Third time. All right. Where did you come from?
Singapore.
You're married? Okay. Do you mind if I just say a word over your wife? I just sense. I feel God would say to you that God, he has endowed you with creativity. Like, it's inside of you. Like, you see things and you can make things. You know, you love making things. And God says he wants you to make things in his house also. That he wants you to bring that gift. I don't know what you've done in the past, but I think in the season that you're in now, God is saying, bring your creativity into my house. And as you create in my house, I will fulfill the promises I made to you. And God's saying that you should never worry about finances. You should never go to a shop and say, I'm going to get the cheapest paper for this creative thing I want to do, just an example. So you shouldn't, because I will provide. And you know my provision. You've known my provision before now. And God says, I will continue to provide for you in the future, but even in a more generous way. God says, I want you to, in this season that you're in, I want you to know me as the generous Father. That God wants to be generous to you in more ways than you can imagine. Does that make sense? Amen. Bless you guys. You're welcome. All right. Amen. Give God praise. So this morning, okay, thank you. So thank you for that background worship. Amen. Hope rising. But let's start from the negative this morning, and then we'll go to the positive, okay? Let's start from the negative. Proverbs chapter 13. Chopri will come up on the screen. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says this. Hope deferred does what? Makes the heart sick. But when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. When hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. Not just the heart, but actually your whole body feels sick because there is no hope. There is nothing that you're hoping for. You lose sight of purpose. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know whether when the 2017 started, you had goals. Did you write any goals down? Anybody write any goals down? No? Some people did. Where are you with those goals? We're almost at the end of the year. And sometimes we lose hope that anything will happen in 2017 because we're now in September. But the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. So there's some things that hope does. Hope could make, without hope, you could look sick. When there's no hope. That's why you see people go to work sometimes and they have no hope of promotion. They have no hope of a pay rise. They have no hope of a good job. They have no hope of a good car. They have no hope of a good house. And therefore, they go to work sick. People wake up sometimes in the morning, they have no hope, so they have no ambition for the day. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I come to tell you this morning that God wants to restore hope into our hearts. For some of us, it might be that you've lost hope because you've been praying for a loved one for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and you're now giving up because there is no hope. No hope that it's possible. But we serve a God who can make all things possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Even the most complicated thing is still possible with God. And as we were worshiping this morning, I felt God say to me, I need you to tell them a story to kind of bring this alive. Right? And I'll bring it alive, and then we'll go into the preach. Don't worry, I'll try and stay on time. You know me. but I'll tell you the story. And you know, something I noticed. I was watching a film the other day. It's a Christian film. And I looked at how they were trying to portray God in a way that, you know, it's almost gimmicky. And actually, the Bible is full of stories that are not gimmicky. They are real stories. You know, we don't have to make God look nice to make God nice. God is already nice. God is already good. We don't need to gimmick a story to make God look good. All right? God is already good, and his scriptures reveal this. So let's go to John chapter 5. And sorry to the tech team. I just told them very late because it came up during worship. Let's read John chapter 5. And there's an amazing story here of how hope makes the heart sick. John chapter 5, verse 3 says this. John chapter 5, verse 3. In these particular, lay a great number of people who were sick and blind and lame and withered, waiting for the stirring of the water. Verse 4, for an angel of the Lord went down into the pool at an appointed season and stirred up the water. The first one to go in the water after the waters were stirred was healed of his disease. Feels like a hopeful situation, doesn't it? The waters get stirred, and if you get to the waters first, you get healed. Imagine a cash machine on the high street in Greenwich, that if you got there first, you can take whatever you want. That kind of gives hope. But then there's a man here in verse 5. There was a certain man there who had been ill for how long? 38 years. I wonder how long you've been waiting for the promise in your life. This man has been waiting for the promise for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, you know, when your hope is deferred, you become helpless. It becomes a struggle to wake up in the morning because you have nothing to wake up to. But when God is in your life, he gives you a reason for leaving. And then Jesus, knowing that he had been in the situation, in the condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" It's a very simple question. Actually, I think it's a yes-no answer. But he doesn't give him a yes-no answer. He gives him a different answer. The invalid answered him and said, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm coming to get into them myself, someone else steps down ahead of me." I wonder if Jesus asked you this morning, "What do you want this morning?" Is your answer yes or no, or is your answer long-winded? You know, my uncle and my auntie for my second cousin, and my auntie for my third cousin, and my boss for my first job, and my, you know. And you're telling God all these stories, but God just needs you to say yes or no. When hope is deferred, you have a story to tell. You want a promotion. Well, you know, 10 years ago when I asked for a promotion, they didn't give it to me, so I'm not sure they'll give it to me now. Do you want a promotion?
Yes.
Do you want to change your job? Well, I applied 17 times. I didn't get it. And, you know. Do you want to get married? Well, all the men. You know, these London men, you know. Jesus ignores his excuses and says to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." That's a story of hope. He'd lost hope, 38 years waiting for the promise of God, waiting for the waters to be stirred, for him to be able to move into the waters. Actually, he didn't need the waters to be stirred, because in front of him was Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
Amen.
The stirrer of all waters. And I come to tell you this morning that the stirrer of all waters is here today. What do you hope for? What do you believe for? What do you expect? Because without expectation, the Bible says the expectation of the righteous shall not what? Be cut short. That's the negative. Let's look at the positive. Actually, let me give you one more negative. Job 14. It's not going to come up on the screen. Job 14. Job, in his sorrow, it's not going to come up on the screen because I didn't tell the guys before. But Job 14, verse 7, the Bible says, "There is hope for a tree if it's cut down, as long as it has roots, because it can grow again." And then Job said, if you read it properly in verse 9, verse 8, he says, "But for human beings, there is no hope." Because he was in a hopeless situation. But we know the story. We read the Bible. We know that his hopeless situation was restored. Everything he lost was given back to him. His relationship with God got better. But at the point in time when he's in the middle of his struggle, he confesses truth, but he denies it for himself. Truth is this: as long as there is a root, there is hope. Thank God this morning, if you're under the sound of my voice, we have a root, and there's root of Jesse. We have a root. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And so we have hope. Yeah, you might not be in the job you want to be, but we have hope that you can be.
Amen.
You might not be in the situation you want to be, but we have hope that you can be.
Amen.
And this morning, I want hope to rise in your heart, that you go away, because later on, we're going to find out, without hope, you have no faith. Faith is the basis of hope. Without hope, there is no faith. And where there is no faith, there is no intervention of God. Romans 15, verse 13. This has become one of my favorite verses over the summer. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound, what? Abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. You see, the God of hope wants to fill you with joy. You see, when you have hope, joy fills your heart. We sang it already this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, right? And so when you have hope, you have joy. And what does joy do? Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so Paul is saying here, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. Peace. It's not where you want it to be. It's not happening the way you want it to happen. But you got joy and peace. Why? I know who I believe. I know my God. That the situation might not be perfect right now. I might not be in the job I want to be in right now. But I have peace that the God of hope is going to fill me with joy. Then he says this. I love this. He says this. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope. Not just a tiny bit of hope. Not just a bucket full of hope. But you can abound in hope. Romans 5. Talking about this hope. Says this. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us. Have you faced disappointment recently? I tell you, it may be because you're not putting your hope fully in God's promises. Now, I'm telling you this not because I'm bringing correction. I'm telling you because I've had to experience it myself. Revelation 3:8 says this, I've placed before you an open door that no man, when I open it, no man can shut so you can walk straight through, right? So God has put before you an open door. You know the problem with us and the problem with me, moi? Don't talk about you. Let me talk about me, right? Is that we see an open door, but we don't recognize it, so we try and knock on a shut door, and we're knocking on the shut door and say, Jesus, help me with this shut door. And Jesus is like, I place before you an open door. Amen. I mean, it's open. I mean, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to knock. You need to go through the open door. And recently in my life, in my work situation, I was knocking on a shut door. I thought it was an open door, but it was a shut door. And then I came to the point where I realized that I've been knocking on this shut door too long. And so I said, God, is there another open door? And God said, I had already opened the door for you. Amen. You see what I'm saying? So the open door was there 5 weeks ago, but I didn't see it. Because I didn't realize it was an open door. Because I was knocking on a shut door. You see what I'm saying? And so sometimes we can get so wound up in our own disappointments because we're knocking on the wrong door that we lose hope. We become disappointed. I've been praying for my husband to come to church for 38 years, and he still hasn't come. You don't give up because you're still alive, and he's still alive. So there is hope. The Bible says, as long as there's life in the tree, there is hope. Why? Why do we have this hope? Because it says this, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who given to us. He was given to us. So look at hope. Hope is standing all by itself. What have I joined to hope? Joy. Peace. Love. You ain't got no joy in your life. Check your hope. You ain't got no peace in your life. Check your hope. You ain't got no love in your life. Check where your hope is. Because when you have hope, joy rises. Peace rises. Love rises. You see, hope deferred makes the whole body sick. I wish I could expand on the proverb, because when you have no hope, lots of things go wrong. You're not just sick. Everything goes wrong. Your thinking is wrong. David facing Goliath. He says, "Who art thou, uncircumcised Philistine, who comes against the armies of God?" I want you to understand, before David got there, armies, you know, people with machine guns or whatever they had in those days. Well, they had shields, they had knives, they had swords. There were many of them. And they cowered away because they had no hope. And then one little boy who knew Jesus, who knew the God he served, he said, "Who art thou, uncircumcised Philistine, that you stand before the armies of God? Are you kidding me? Are you for real? I mean, did you really think you could take us down? I mean, somebody help me here. Who do you think you are, Goliath? Today, I will feed your head to the birds." Amen. Maybe I make a declaration over London. Devil, who do you think you are that you can take over London? You can't. You can't. The king rules. The king reigns. We're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and not. Somebody sent me a message and said, "Oh, please don't get on the tube." I was like, you're not listening to me. "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Amen. And it's what you believe that determines your level of hope. And so tomorrow morning I will be on the tube. Hallelujah. And then, you know what Daniel said? He said, no, his friend said, let's deal with that first. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, "Even if our God does not deliver us, we will still not bow. Because we have hope that he can deliver us." Yeah. We have hope. We're not hopeless. Hebrews 11, verse 1. You know, we talk a lot about faith, but we don't always talk about hope. I remember when I was kind of preparing this message, I said to God, "Why do you want to talk to them about hope? Why don't you talk to them about faith?" Then he said, go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says this, "Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for." If you don't hope for anything, you don't need faith. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, the evidence of things not seen, and the conviction of their reality. So then you're just going to bring up that verse in a second. So for faith to work, it needs hope. Hope makes faith work. Because when you don't have hope, faith can work. Look how he says, "Now faith is the assurance, is the title deed, is the confirmation that you have what you have." You know, you can live in a house, but if you don't have the title deed, the house does not belong to you. Now faith is what? The assurance of the things you hope for, the things you're expecting. The reason why people don't have faith today is because there's no expectation of meeting with God. John 5, the man had no expectation that Jesus could change his circumstance. But Jesus still did. Thank God for mercy. But the woman with the issue of blood, she had an expectation that when she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, she will be made whole. She walked out of her house in faith, saying, I've spent all I have. I've suffered all I can suffer. But today, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Amen. She pushed through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and what happened? Jesus said, virtue has left me. I pray this morning that you would rise up with hope again. Rise up with hope again and push through the crowd, because if you do, you will meet him and he will meet you. Romans 4, 7 says this, talking about our father Abraham. So that it is written in scripture, I have made you a father of many nations. I'll just wait for the guys to... Are we good? Almost? Thanks, Bramwell. Ah, there we go. Bramwell gets there. Thank you. It says this, as it is written in Scripture, I have made you a father of many nations. In the sight of him, in whom he believed, that is God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. I wonder this morning, what do you need? Does it not exist? It's fine. God calls those things that do not exist into being. The hope, in hope, against hope. In hope against hope, Abraham believed that he would become a father of many nations as he had been promised by God, so numberless shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead for producing children, since he was about 100 years old, and he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and empowered by faith, giving glory to God. We know the story of Abraham, so I'm not going to take too long on it, but here's what I'm saying. He did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb or the deadness of his own body. He just chose to believe that it's possible. I wasn't planning to say this, but I just felt just now I should say it. So I gave a couple a prophetic word about 4 years ago. One of the weirdest prophetic words, well, not the weirdest, there's been many more weird ones. But it was a funny word to give to them. And I said, what's going to happen to you is that somebody's going to give you a rent-free house for 2 years. I mean, we're sitting down having this chat, and they're like looking at me like, well, okay, I believe God for that. It sounds impossible, doesn't it? But they did not consider the deadness of their situation. They considered the promise of God. And this year, they relocated to Dubai, and they're living for 2 years in a house rent-free. Amen. You see my point? Now, it looks impossible. Right? It looks impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Take the limits off. God can give you a job without experience. He can. He can give you a house without a deposit. He can. The first house I ever bought, we paid £200 deposit. That was it. And we could move in, and they gave us the keys. Right? My wife is here, so she can testify. Very first house we bought, £200. I mean, she found the house. She did all the legwork, so I'm not going to take the glory for that. But what I'm saying is that if I told you that, you'd say that's not possible. It doesn't happen. But it does. It does. The question is, go back to verse 17. God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. For some people in this room, I believe this, that they're going to have to create the job for you because it doesn't exist. They're just going to make it up. You're going to choose the title yourself. Depends on what you believe. When you have hope, nothing is impossible. Lamentations 3. Oh, and by the way, Bramwell last week was preaching and sharing about Naaman. And how Naaman was in an impossible situation. He was leprous. There was no hope. In those days, there was no miracle, so to say. But there was. And the servant girl said to him, if you just go down to see the prophet, you will be made whole. You will. It looked like a hopeless situation. He'd lived with it for so long. But his servant, he listened to his servant. No wonder the Bible says, condescend to men of low estate. You are never too big for God. Tell you a story very quickly. My daughter, my youngest daughter, there was a prayer call in church, and it was at our Friday night youth event, and there was a prayer call, and they called for those who had hay fever. And I suffer sometimes with hay fever, and I didn't go out. I didn't go to the call, and my daughter texts me like, "Dad, why are you not out in the front asking for prayer?" She's 12 years old. She's 12 years old. She's texting me, "Dad, why are you not out there for the prayer?" Why? It's like, why? You see what I'm saying? Because she has a hope in a God who heals. Sometimes we've been in church too long, we forget that he does. I pray that our hope will rise again. That we will have hope in the ability of God to save, both to save, to heal, and to deliver. Look at Jeremiah 3:24. The Lord is my portion and my inheritance, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him, and I wait what? Expectantly for him. The Lord is good to those who what? Wait confidently for him. To those who seek him on the authority of God's word. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. We know this. We quote it. But do we believe it? Because if you believe it, then you will act like it. I'm running late, but it doesn't matter. Because I know the thoughts and plans that God has for me. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you what? A future and a what? A hope. God wants to give you a gift this morning. A gift of hope. You need hope. Hope deferred does what? Makes the heart sick. But when you have hope, you have joy. When you have joy, you have peace. When you have peace, you have love. When you have love, you have faith. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Believes all things. Looking for the best in each other. Hopes what? All things. Remaining steadfast during what? Difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. Wow. If we could only hope again. If we could only turn off the news for one moment. And hear the word of God. I know the plans that I have for London. I know the plans that I have for this nation. I know the plans that I have for Florida. I know the plans that I have for the West Indies. I know the plans that I have. Yes, don't be surprised, Luke says, that earthquakes, signs in the skies will happen. But I know the plans that I have for you. We almost need to hold the news in one hand and the promises of God in the other. And say, this doesn't make sense, but this does. Remember I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, last time I came, about how all things work together for good for them that love God. No, they don't happen by accident. All things are going to work together for good in Florida. All things are going to work together for good in Palmer's Green. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is already praying for these things to happen. He knows the will of the Father. He knows the thoughts. You see, the Holy Spirit is not like me, not like you. He prays in hope. He prays in believing. He knows. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, having no clue how the church was going to be born, he prayed for you and I. He prayed for Greenwich. He prayed for this church in the garden. Let me bring this to close by reading a charge to you from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says this. But we should, and are morally obligated as debtors, always to give thanks to God for you. Believers beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctifying work of the Spirit that sets you apart for God's purposes. And by your faith in the truth of God's word that leads you to spiritual maturity. Verse 14. It was to this end that he called you through our gospel, the good news of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, so that you may obtain and share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. So then, brothers and sisters of South Street Baptist Church, stand firm and hold tightly to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by a letter from us. Hold tightly. You know, the danger is you hear this message of hope, and tomorrow morning when you get into the office, it disappears. Because your boss just says the wrong thing at the wrong time. And your head goes, psh. It says this. So then, brothers and sisters, stand where? Firm. And hold tightly to this truth. That your situation might not be exactly how you want it to be right now. Jeremiah 29:11 is true. God knows the thoughts he has towards you. Not for disaster. But God, look at my house. Look at where I'm at. Look at what's happening to me. I'm not where I want to be. God says, I know. I have a future. And I have a hope. Verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself. I love this. I mean, I was like, whoa. I could preach on that. Just stay there. Just don't even have to move. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort and encouragement and the good, well-founded of salvation by his grace. I want to add another word. So we talked about joy, peace, faith, love. Now I add another word, grace. The good hope of salvation by his grace. Comfort, encourage, strengthen your hearts. Keep them steadfast on course in every good work and word. Let hope rise. Darkness trembles at the holy light.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You encouraged? Amen. Let's just respond to that message. Could we have the music? Let's just worship. We're going to worship. We're going to sing Cornerstone. You guys can just join us from where you are if you like. If you're able to stand, and we're just going to worship. We're just going to declare our hope in Jesus. And as we do that, then we're going to pray. So you can sit and just engage with God. So just let the words, what God has spoken to you during this, just firm it up. You don't want to lose it. We don't want to let it fizzle out. In the name of Jesus. So yeah, could we have the music and the words up? And we'll just worship. As we sing this song, I believe God just wants to give us the gift of hope today. I'd just like you to put your arms out to receive like a present. just receive this present of the gift of hope. You may be in a very hopeless situation. You may be in a good situation right now. But God wants to give you a gift of hope. Hallelujah. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I thank you. According to your word, according to your word, O Lord, you are the God of hope. You are the God of hope in the name of Jesus. Hope in the ability of God to save, heal, and deliver. Hope that leads to joy, peace, love, faith, and grace. Hope